Hi, I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories outdoors. Support for this episode comes from Costa Sunglasses. So, there are a lot of good sunglass brands out there. But if you're looking for ones that perform well on the water, Costas are for you. Costa Sunglasses have lenses that are specially designed for the water. They cut through the glare, they bring out all the pretty colors, and they help you see below the surface. Their hinges will stand up to salt water, and the frames will stay put on your face even if you're being buffeted around by wind and waves. I've been testing out a pair of Costas, and I recently took them on a trip to the Oregon coast because, well, it's been winter until about 5 minutes ago here in Wyoming where I live, so I haven't had a chance to be out on the water much at home. Anyway, I gotta say, the Costas were lovely on the beach. Everything was beautifully crisp and clear, the colors were vibrant, and if I do say so myself, I looked great in all the photos with my new sunglasses. If you're thinking about spending some time around the water this season, head over to costasunglasses.com. That's C-O-S-T-A sunglasses.com. Costa Sunglasses. See what's out there. And now, on to our story for today. Have you ever wondered what trees would say if they could talk to you? I have to admit, it's not the kind of thing I usually ponder, but for Carolyn McDonald, trees have always had distinct personalities. They've always been kind of like friends to her. And yet, Carolyn is not your typical tree hugger. On today's episode, she tells her story. It's a story that takes us from rural North Carolina to the streets of Paris, and it looks at what it means to love something your own way, rather than the way society expects.
My tree love started when I was about 7. We lived on a farm in North Carolina, and I'd frequently climb the chinaberry tree in our backyard. It would take me several attempts to amble up the slick trunk to the lowest branch and pull myself up. I'd park on a sturdy limb for a while to snack on a Milky Way. Then climbing higher, I imagined that I was a character from some Western me and Daddy watched on TV the night before. I'd peer out over the line of trees into a meadow that strikingly resembled the one Hoss, Ben, and Little Joe rode in from during the opening credits. On balmy June days, me and my cousins took turns shaking the luscious plum trees lined along the edge of the driveway. By the time we finished, our bellies were full, and we had enough plums to make jelly for everybody in the county. In autumn, as leaves burst into a vibrant spectrum of oranges, yellows, and reds, we collected them to border our classroom bulletin boards. Back in our yard, when the leaves turned brown and drifted from their weary branches, I earned extra chore money raking up and loading them into a big barrel to burn. I earned even more money chopping kindling to build fires in the living room stove to keep us warm in winter. I loved the smell of hickory smoked anything, so I snuck the dense shells into my kindling bucket and put them in the fire. The comforting aroma would drift throughout the house. Regardless of the season, trees were more than just objects. They were my loyal, nurturing friends who gave me a sense of being one with all creation. Fast forward 3+ decades. I'd been dating a wonderful man named Jim for 4 months, and it had been magical. He was from rural Minnesota, and we bonded over kindred childhood experiences, our love of nature, solitude, and being the weird artist kids in elementary school. Being in a serious relationship was the farthest thing from my mind. My daughter had just untethered me from the nest of single parenthood, and I was brimming with wanderlust. Yet meeting Jim was so serendipitous and we got along so well that I already thought he could be the one. and then one day he offered to take me camping. His big brown eyes twinkled with excitement. He clearly thought I would be stoked to smell those childhood smells again and stare up at the stars far from city lights. That twinkling grin of his could normally get me to do anything, but this time they evoked panic from me. Camping was not my picture of a romantic getaway. The only time I'd ever been camping was with my daughter's third grade class. Back then, I reluctantly agreed to join a caravan of other parents at a lakeside campground just north of Santa Barbara. The trip was miserable. There wasn't a porta potty or outhouse for miles. And when my tent collapsed on top of me in the middle of the night, I woke up in a puddle. Everyone else was having fun fishing and swimming, though, so I tried to hide my bad attitude. I squealed with fake delight as I learned how to skip stones. The things we do to make our kids happy. I know it seems counterintuitive that a woman who romances on about spending her childhood making friends with trees would hate sleeping outside, but you see, for me, the outdoors at night had never been a friendly place. Growing up, sunset meant hearing the eerie squeak of bats leaving their nests. I'd run in the house as visions of dark shadows Barnabas Collins danced in my head. And then there were the nighttime holiday church services. The only route to church was along a footpath through the woods. It wasn't scary during the day, but at night the moon always cast weird shadows that looked like dangerously fanged beasts. The slightest crunch of a fallen twig under my frigid toes sent shivers of horror through me. To ward off these fears, I often pondered what trees would say if they could talk. Would they complain about being cold with their roots buried beneath the snow, or how the wind had frostbitten their bark and stripped their pine needles off? Or would they be grief-stricken when one of their cedar comrades was chopped down at Christmas time and then tossed back out into the bitter cold, lifeless and rootless? I'm far from being a Scrooge or a Grinch, but these musings still deter me from buying a live Christmas tree.
Hey, it's Willow. We'll hear the rest of Carolyn's story in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor. Support for Out There comes from Myro, makers of natural deodorant that works great and smells great. I have to admit, I've always been curious about natural deodorants, but until recently, I had never tried one out. I guess I assumed they wouldn't really work as well as your traditional drugstore brands. But Myro sent me a sample, and it works really well. It works well on days when I'm in back-to-back meetings. It works well if I'm out rock climbing all day. And it's a much nicer scent than I usually find with mainstream brands. Myro uses a custom blend of essential oils, plus natural cornstarch and sage to keep you dry. It's an aloe-based formula for a soothing, comfortable glide, and they use citrus and probiotics to keep you smelling great. There's no toxic anything, no aluminum, no parabens, and all their ingredients are clinically tested for safety and efficacy. Plus, and I really like this feature, they come in refillable cases, so you have way less waste than with traditional deodorants. Get 50% off your first order and get started today for just $5. Head over to mymyro.com/outthere and use the promo code OUTTHERE. That's mymyro.com/outthere, promo code OUTTHERE, and we have a link to that on our website as well. And now, back to the story.
I'm pretty sure my aversion to sleeping outside comes from more than just childhood imaginings, though. I've never voiced it aloud, but I'm convinced I possess cellular memories of ancestors sleeping outside at night. Visions of Harriet Tubman warning her latest band of freedom seekers to be quiet on a riverbank with dogs barking in the distance had been planted in my brain since I was in third grade. Only about 4% of the people who go camping in America are African American, so I'm sure I'm not the only black person with these memories or apprehensions. However, when I truly search my soul, it really has to do with my own personal background. Having grown up on a farm without running water or indoor plumbing, I don't equate being in the woods at night with relaxation. So when Jim suggested we go camping, I didn't know what to say. Although he was a visionary fine artist, he was also a laid-back dude from the Midwest. I wasn't sure if he would understand my complex eccentricities about sleeping outdoors at night. I contemplated concocting some exotic story about an epigenetic allergy that wouldn't allow me to sleep on the ground, but knowing him, he'd erect something to keep me from having to touch the earth horizontally. Yes, he's that guy. And because he's that guy, who I truly believed was the one, I decided to take the safe way into intimacy and opted for a smooth compromise. I slid into his arms, gave him a quick peck on the lips, and said, "Can we like do a bonfire at the beach? That way we get a romantic sunset too." We both loved the sea, and there would be no trees, which meant no bats. To my relief, he agreed. I still haven't gone camping with Jim. I'm not ruling it out entirely, but the idea of it still gives me the shivers. Luckily, he seems content with me loving nature in my own way. And my way of loving nature often involves being in a city. My favorite is Paris, in April, of course. The first time I went there, I was 29 because I didn't want to turn 30 and have never left the country. The city was full of trees. Dogwood blossoms littered the path around me while Japanese pagoda trees swayed in the warm breeze. I found a spot in the park and lay against a graceful willow. As a kid, I probably would have climbed the tree, but now I was inspired to just relax and take in the peaceful energy. These trees seem to have their own je ne sais quoi. If they could talk, they'd definitely say they are well taken care of, happy and unthreatened, dripping with pride to be a tree in Paris. And everyone in the park is soaking up this soul oxygen. A macaroon in one hand, a cafe au lait in the other. Now this is the way to chill outside, I thought to myself. Back home on the streets of New York, trees and time are both scarce. But during my intentional strolls through Park Slope, Tribeca, or Soho, I do take a moment at stoplights to ponder things these trees may have seen over the years in the Big Apple. Does the tree at the corner of Prince Street and West Broadway remember the little bodega on its corner that probably had to move due to a rent increase? Was it even here then? That poor scrawny spruce probably shivers in fear every time a bulldozer roars by. As I've moved about the globe from city to suburb and farm to seaside, trees have been my own private service animals and unimaginary best friends. But I don't feel the need to spend all night with them. Instead, I enjoy their majesty and splendor in the light of day, and I delight in fleeting moments of connection with them, like when a crisp breeze blows a leaf in my face at a traffic light. These little moments distract me from the hardness of city dwelling. They are my way of loving nature.
That was Carolyn McDonald. She's a writer, filmmaker, and photographer. You can follow her on Instagram under the handle Created by Carolyn, where she chronicles the faces, places, and spaces of her wanderlust. If you can think of a friend who would enjoy Carolyn's story, please share the URL for this episode with them. Word of mouth is our best form of advertising. Also, if you're enjoying Out There, please consider supporting the show. We are raising money to pay our team at least minimum wage, and we hope you'll help us out. Out There is a full-time job for me, but it's nowhere near a full-time paycheck. I love making the show, but I also need to support myself, and I really want to treat my team right. If each listener contributed just 30 cents a month to Out There, we would be able to take home minimum wage. 30 cents a month. So, if the show brightens your day at all, please consider making a financial gift to Out There. You can make a one-time gift on our website, outtherepodcast.com, or, of course, you can always send us a check. Or, even better, you can contribute to our Patreon campaign. Patreon is a crowdfunding platform for creative endeavors. It lets you make small financial gifts to projects you care about on a monthly basis. Just head over to patreon.com/outtherepodcast and check out all the exciting rewards we offer for patrons at different pledge levels. Thank you so much for believing in us. That's it for this episode. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Egerking. Our advertising coordinator is Jessica Taylor. Laura Johnston heads up our ambassador program. And our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.